We're going to talk today about the civil rights movement. We've been talking about it lately. The civil rights movement, 50s, 1950s and 60s. Can anybody name some of the heroes from the civil rights movement? Yes, Matthew.
Something Douglas.
He lived in the 1800s. He was a great abolitionist. That means he was against slavery. He was also a suffragist. Anybody know what a suffragist is? A suffragist. You should know what that is. A suffragist. Anybody know? A suffragist is a person. Yes, Matthew, you think they
know? I think he suffered something.
Well, he does. He suffers for trying to get the rights of women to vote. A suffragist is a person who fights for the rights of women. And Frederick Douglass was not only an abolitionist, but he was also a suffragist. He believed in not only African-American rights, but also the rights of women everywhere. Native Americans, African-American women, white women. You know, women didn't have any rights at all during the 1800s. Up until 1920, women couldn't vote in the United States of America. I don't care what color you were. White, black, green, purple, polka dot, stripes, flag. You couldn't vote if you were a woman. Can anybody else name an African American or a civil rights leader? Yes.
Martin Luther King,
that's a big one. Anybody else?
Harriet Tubman.
What was that?
Harriet Tubman,
good.
Rosa Parks.
Malcolm X.
Oh,
yes. Yep. I think that was mentioned. But it deserves to be mentioned twice. Oh, we have podcasts.
Barack Obama.
That's what this whole course is about. How do we become enlightened enough to have an African American as president? What did this country have to go through to enlighten itself from a point where Americans basically believed that African Americans were good for nothing but slaves, to the point where an African American is in the White House? Pretty amazing evolution of thought. All right, Frank has up on the screen some of these heroes. In the left-hand corner, you have some civil rights activists at a protest. How do they look? What do you see in this left-hand picture?
Sad.
Huh?
Sad.
They do look sad. Why would they be sad? Yep. All the way to the right? That's Congressman Lewis. And he has been a congressman in Georgia for about, I think 20 years or maybe more. He was also a very important part of the civil rights movement in the 1950s and 60s, working with Martin Luther King. He's still around today.
He is?
Oh, yeah.
He's still living.
Huh?
He's still living?
Yeah, this guy is still living.
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Congressman Lewis.
He's still living.
He's been a congressman in the state of Georgia for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the heart of Dixie. Anybody know who this is?
Mm-hmm.
Odette. She's a sinner. She was a sinner. She passed away about 6 months ago. She's a great sinner. Met her a couple of times. Frank met her. I got to play with her on one occasion. How old was she when she died? She was in her 70s.
My grandpa's older than her.
She's 90. Yeah. But unfortunately, she passed away too early. I think she had a heart attack. I'm not sure. This is one of our favorite songs. And this song is very powerful. I sang this a little bit the other day. This song is a very powerful force. People sing these kind of songs together when they're afraid, when they're scared of being beaten. On the Freedom bus rides in the 1950s and 60s, people were terrified. African Americans and also some white people were on the buses together, traveling through the South to protest conditions down there and to ask for their just rights. The right to protest, the right to assemble, the right to vote, the right to
an education.
Equal education, the right to go to the same bathroom, to be allowed into the same restaurants or the same hotels, to live in the same neighborhoods. Because up until this point, everything was separate. Segregation. These people were civil rights protesters trying to get rid of segregation in the South and in the North, but particularly in the South. And of course, when you were protesting in the South, in the heart of Dixie, you could be attacked at any moment. You could be lynched, you could be burned, you could be shot. You could be beaten within an inch of your life.
And a lot of times protesters, large groups of protesters, got hit with what was called a water cannon.
Water cannons, which the fire department had, you know, those water hoses, very powerful. It's like a torrent of water just like smashing you to the ground and blowing you across the street. You could break your arm, you could break your leg, you could crack your skull, getting hit with a water cannon. They were also attacked by dogs, police dogs. Or, what they did was ask for their rights.
And that's why you may see the look of apprehension on these people's faces.
These people are afraid. And when people are afraid, they band together. Because there's safety in numbers. I mean, I'd rather be with a group of people than all by myself. And they used to sing songs like this. Matter of fact, they sang this song, this very song. And see if you think this song could help you feel a little brave. Try to put yourself in mind, put yourself in the position of, try to imagine what it must be like to march down south and see all these people throwing rocks and bottles at you, calling your names and yelling at you, and trying to grab you and knock you to the ground. Oh, free. Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, over me, and before I leave your space. Think that the Ku Klux Klan might feel bad. Why?
Because, like they don't, they want slavery, and
Okay. They might feel bad because they want slavery. Why would they feel bad about that? You know, try to imagine the situation. Freedom riders are coming down south and they're singing songs like that and asking for freedom. Carrying a sign, singing and walking quietly, not bothering anybody, not hurting anybody. The Ku Klux Klan or some other group is down there and they're looking at bus heads and they see these people just singing. What do you think their reaction might be? Anybody have an idea? Yeah?
Maybe they're
You sound so mature when you say that. Don't you sound mature, Mrs. Yeah,
that was a really good thing I did say.
Wow. Say that again.
I said maybe when they hear them singing.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. You should be listening now. You're not going to have anything to write about if you're not listening to what the lesson is about. And you're missing what Sarah's saying because you're talking about your lyrics. It's not what you're supposed to be doing now. You'll have time for that later.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Just one minute.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you for taking care of
that. Maybe when they're singing, they might hear them and stop and listen to the lyrics and say, hey, you know what? Maybe they're wrong.
Wow. You might feel bad, like you were saying.
That might make them feel bad if they started to think maybe the way they've been living all this time is not acceptable, right?
Yeah. Someone in the last class brought up the phrase, a change of heart. Mm. What could bring upon a change of heart in people's thinking?
A song that really gets to you and you start to realize that whatever's going wrong, you have to be a part of it and give an effort.
Mm-hmm. So a song could change someone's way of thinking about
it? A song could change people's mind and has. You know, if it's the right song and it's about, if it describes something heartfelt, and if that song is being sung by people, a group of people in this case, a whole group of people singing this song with more soul and more feeling than anybody has ever seen before. People marching through the South, singing this song like that. It must have been a sight to see. It must have been a glorious sound to see. It must have been a bright light to some of these dark places. You know, they're walking around like a black cloud over their head. You know, I'm talking about racists who were so deeply ignorant and hateful. And then you see a group of peaceful protesters singing this beautiful song and saying to yourself, wow, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. Everybody should have their rights. Why are they? Why shouldn't black people have their rights? Why shouldn't they be allowed to eat in a restaurant, swim in a swimming pool, or go to the same bathroom, or ride on the buses together, or go to schools together? Why should they be separated? There's a revolution in thinking. A revolution in thinking. That was the whole idea of the civil rights movement, was to change people's minds. You know, how many of you have ever heard of Mahatma Gandhi? What do you know about Mahatma Gandhi? Gandhi. What do you know about him? Where have you heard that name?
I know he died from fasting.
He what?
He died from fasting.
He didn't die from the fast, but he did die. He was murdered. And he did do a fast as well for Indian independence. Gandhi was a great inspiration to Martin Luther King and to other civil rights leaders, because Gandhi believed in nonviolence. He believed in peaceful demonstration for your rights. And it goes back to what you were saying, and it goes back to what's your name?
Christian.
What is it?
Christian.
Christian, it goes back to what Christians were saying, and what's your name? Sarah? When you guys were talking about, you know, people seeing the protesters and feeling bad for them. That's what you said, more or less. And seeing that maybe the protesters had a point, that they were right. Gandhi believed in that. He said, violence only creates more violence. An eye for an eye only leads to the whole world being blind. Doesn't solve anything. Yes, Matthew.
I recognize when slavery was going on, I know it was ending, but I think, for my opinion, I think it ended in a bad way, because they now realizing after they killed all of the people, now they realizing that slavery is bad. I mean, they could have realized it before they even killed the person. They could have said, Why am I killing you? I don't have no right to be even putting my hands on you. I don't even know you. Blacks are the same people as whites. And we should all get the same opportunity as whites do. So I think slavery, it ended in a bad way, because a lot of good people died. And then a lot of people that, the loved ones, I mean, they felt bad too. Whites was just not hurting blacks, but they was hurting the whole, they was hurting the whole world of blacks. They was hurting blacks hard.
Man, that's incredible.
So what I hear you saying is that the end of slavery ended way too late, and slavery is for everyone.
From 1863, when the Emancipation Proclamation so-called freed the slaves, and the end of the Civil War, 1865, when all slaves were finally freed by a couple of amendments to the Constitution, it took another 100 years before they really had any idea of like real rights. It took another 100 years after the Civil War. It was way late. Martin Luther King said, "Justice delayed is justice denied." Think about it. Because a lot of whites were talking about, well, we'll give you your rights, but you have to be patient. Okay, we can't give you all your rights all at once. Okay, it's too much of a difficulty for us. It's too hard for us to adapt. It's too hard for us. You have to wait. We'll give you your rights, we promise you your rights. But you have to be patient. And after 100 years, Martin Luther King said, "Justice delayed is justice denied." We can't wait anymore. We want it now. We want our rights now. There's no reason to wait. We've been waiting 100 years since the end of the Civil War. We still ain't got our rights. I agree with you, Matthew. That's a beautiful thing, what you said.
Yeah.
Got some real deep thinkers in this class. I'm telling you. Again, try to imagine a group of protesters, freedom marchers, peaceful demonstrators being threatened by mobs and by angry police. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, march to freedom land. Say it again. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Segregationist, he was also the governor of Alabama. He did not like black people very much. Ain't gonna let George Wallace turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let George Wallace turn me around. Gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, march to freedom land. This mob might want to hurt us. She sings a song quietly. Number three. Ain't gonna let no jailhouse turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let no jailhouse turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking. State troopers, they had billy clubs, they had police dogs, and they used the fire hoses, the water cannons, and the fire bombs, and all to intimidate, to scare the protesters, and to hurt them. Also, they would line them up.
Here from Matthew Liam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
4 to 10.
Is this for today?
Yeah.
We said 4 to 10.
For Miss Bell.
4 to 10.
Four, I'm sorry. 2 to 10.
You can change it?
I can change it.
Typo.
But I'll change it. Peace is quiet. No more riots. Obama is president. He doesn't like the Confederates. PS-19 is the best. Rosa Parks confessed, stay in the pool. So in the summer, you can be in the pool. Frederick Douglass was trained, and slavery stopped way before Obama came. We love God, we love Obama.
I like that part about the pool.
Me too.
Yeah.
You know, normally if you read that, you say, what's that have to do with anything? But it has a lot to do with it because they wouldn't let black people swim in the same pools as white people. Like, you know, their color was going to rub off. Then everybody would be black. Hey. That's great. Everybody was the same.
But even more immediate today, if you go to summer school, you won't be in the pool.
Because
if you go in summer school, you won't be in the pool. So, do you go to school and do your work, so you have to go to summer school.
Oh, that's true, too. It's a whole other way.
It's just
come up,
and then
you have
to
put
it
in
school.
Yeah, I think they did.
So, he causes a half day.
What was a half day?
Yeah. They have to be downstairs at 11:30 for lunch.
Okay.
One of those quick, he's got to eat now lunches and
team run,
and then come back. Do they come back up and get the
Yes.
So, what we do a little more reflection on the peace movement. The civil rights movement and peaceful nonviolence.
And let's look at some of those faces of African American heroes. Maybe somebody can identify some of the faces. We talked about some of the heroes of the civil rights movement, which of course has been going on for hundreds of years. Usually we just think about it as the 1950s and 1960s, but it really went on for hundreds of years. We talked about Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, John Brown is in that group, Abraham Lincoln. Oh, wow.
So let's see, who is this over here?
Malcolm X.
Really?
No, and who's next to him?
John
Kennedy.
Not
John F. Kennedy. But close.
I'm surprised that they even know that name.
The assassinated.
Did he get shot? Instead of JFK, he was
RFK.
RFK.
What was
John Kennedy's brother, Robert F.
Raymond.
Who was also assassinated.
Robert Frederick.
Then we have
Kennedy.
And who do we have here?
Kennedy.
Martin Luther King.
Also assassinated.
Mr. Kennedy.
Hey, Malcolm X was also assassinated.
Next to him we have Bayard Rustin, who was one of Martin Luther King's advisors. And then next to him,
who's that? His
mother?
No.
Yes.
That's Fannie Lou Hamer. And her famous line was,
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
What?
I'm sick and tired.
Oh, I'm sick and tired.
I'm sick and tired. She was a force. that even the president had to deal with. And this woman who had very little education and was not an eloquent speaker, she spoke from the heart and from the soul, and she could raise the roof. She got people really excited about freedoms, about civil rights. She was a force. When she said, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired," people knew what she meant. Oh, yes, they did.
She was
they got it. They'll do that.
She was an American voting rights activist and civil rights leader, instrumental in organizing Mississippi Freedom Summer, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee,
also known as SNCC.
SNCC, and later became the vice chair of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, attending the 1964 Democratic National Convention in Atlantic City, New Jersey, in that capacity. She almost did not get into that Democratic convention. She had to fight her way into that convention.
Yeah.
I'm sorry? Can I tell her what she meant by I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired?
Sure. Why don't you tell us what you think she meant by that?
When she said that she was sick and tired of being sick and tired, she meant that all these bad things are happening and I'm sick and tired of them. And then she started to say, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of this."
Yeah. Sick and tired.
It's like a whole new level of being sick and tired. I'm not only sick and tired of violence and the suppression of my rights. I'm not only tired of not having rights and being thought of as a non-person, but I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired about it.
During the Democratic National Convention, she was interviewed, and she said, "All of this is on account, and we want to register to become first-class citizens. And if the Freedom Democratic Party is not seated now
at the convention,
I question America. Is this America the land of the free and home of the brave, where we have to go to sleep with our telephones off the hooks? Because our lives are being threatened daily, because we want to live as decent human beings in America?"
I mean, she spoke right from the heart. It was like, she was speaking like right from where she lived. Because this woman, she went through a lot, man. They almost beat her to death down south.
Yeah.
Oh yes, they did. They beat her almost to death. It took her a month to recuperate from that beating that she got. Yeah?
I can see her eyes when she was still.
You could barely see the sense anymore.
She was an emotional speaker.
Yeah.
Like I said, she wasn't eloquent. She wasn't highly educated. But she knew what she was talking about.
Yeah.
Firsthand. I've heard a little bit of her voice also on WBAI. And there was a play in New York City about her about a year ago. She died a long time ago. When did she die?
If we go back to Wikipedia. March 14th, 1977.
That's the day.
Ask the doctor.
Let's go to the part of the page where all those other, like Louis Armstrong, I can call.
But we have to leave in like a minute, just so you know, because we have to get to lunch. We have to leave in like a minute.
In a minute, okay.
Yeah. Oh, look how fast it's going.
Maybe they can do the reflection and the writing later on today or something.
We want to go to lunch and we're going to lunch and then we go home to today. I'm sorry. But we'll just see you tomorrow?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Oh,
is that
Jeff?
What's the team calling that?
Is that Jackie Robinson?
Yes.
Yes.
Jackie Robinson?
I need to help.
Johnson. That's Joe Goose. Yeah, both of these guys were the heavyweight champions of the world.
I understand.
Right there, right there.
At the bottom of that hair. Okay, guys, I'm sorry.
We're going to have to go. We can't be
taking our monsters that greatly. Hope you enjoyed the lesson. And singing.
Sick and tired.
Sick and tired. Maybe some writing about that.
Ready, guys?
Yeah.
Don't think that you can give it one way to do that.
Thanks, class.
Nice to meet you.